right. Hello.
Hello.
All right. Has anyone else joined us?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, welcome. This is Self-Care Before Sit-Ups, week 3. So I'm excited. I have been getting emails from everyone of their progress, and everyone seems to be doing very, very well. So for those that are on the call, I'd like you to share your successes. And right now it's you, Yvonne, right? Anyone else join us? Nope. Okay. Why don't you go ahead, Yvonne, and share your successes for the week.
I think my success for the week was picking up after a bad day, catching it, and just being able to shake it off and start over and keep a picture in mind of where I'm going with this, and not letting that slip up, that bad day, continue to cycle. So I think that is the meditation has helped me be more mindful and enjoy my food more.
Okay. I'm just writing some notes. Food more. So this is different than past times with your fitness weight loss goals. Is after a bad day, you just have at a different mindset than you are now.
Yes.
And having that and really looking at the bigger picture that I talked about last week. And have you been able to correlate this back to the homework pieces, the core values, the balance wheel, what you're goals are overall, the big pictures, seeing that more and more clear as the days and weeks go by?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. And it'll keep coming a little bit more clear as we continue to progress and as you implement everything that we're putting together, really building that foundation. So share with me, Yvonne, one thing you've learned the past 2 weeks that you've found to guiding you towards living a healthier life, towards achieving your goals. Has there been a revelation, or is it just let's put into practice what we're learning?
I think in the past, I've always tried this in the past, and you do so well for so long, and then you kind of feel, deprived, or it's not so much fun anymore. And I think what I've learned is to give myself permission to enjoy the journey and not let it slip down that direction of looking at, I can't have those chips, or I have to do this. It's the language that we use in our head that makes it what it is. You do the same thing with different language, and all of a sudden the feelings are different and the results are better.
Yes, and we are definitely going to be getting that in the next few weeks about the self-talk. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful that you're kind of catching that now. And that's all about becoming more your authentic self. Where are you spending time that isn't honoring you? And recognize that and becoming more aware. And once you start asking yourself these questions and start putting the homework pieces together, this comes up. And you recognize what you are saying to yourself. So kudos to you, Yvonne, that you're recognizing that and enjoying the journey and not letting the little bad days that we may have or bad moments that we may have pull us all the way down, that we let all the progress we go. And that is one of the reasons why, for everyone that's going to be listening to this recording for the class, is to look at what your successes are, because it's so easy for us to look at what went wrong. I mean, we're just kind of that way in the negative society. I mean, I was reading a while ago where the weather report was always about, we have 70% chance of 70% chance of rain, or 50% chance of, you know, a cloudy day, but they never say 50% chance of a sunny day, you know, or 50% chance of a clear, beautiful day. It's always a negative. And so we kind of been conditioned just watching the Weather Channel, what you're reading, just in conversation and just our past history, to always look at what we did wrong. And so every week I will ask, what are your successes? And to take a moment, if you're listening to this or the time of the recording, you're listening to this, to pause and say, what have my successes been for this week? And to focus your thoughts on what went right for you, what went well for you, what awarenesses did you make? And not every week will you make a huge awareness, but the baby steps will eventually turn to a nice big step to a leap. And so this is where we're at. So focus on the successes, focus on what you're saying to yourself and how can you switch it so that it does change the way you feel. And when you feel at a higher emotional set point, then you're going to be continuing to take further action towards what you truly want and desire and holds core value to you and honors you. So thank you so much for sharing, Yvonne. I love, I shouldn't say love, but I really believe in Cheryl Richardson's quote when she states, if you're like most people, you probably have at least 75% of your mental energy tied up in distractions. Mm-hmm. And you can only do so much, and what is left is undone. But what has become undone is either life-giving or life-depleting. And what is life-depleting may be called unforgiving tolerations. And this goes into our third chapter of the book, tolerations. And tolerations that nag at us in the very back of our minds. Constant reminder what hasn't been completed, unfinished, incomplete. And like I said moments ago, it's like we kind of have a tendency to go back into that negative thinking, and tolerations really have a magnet towards us. To go into that realm of thinking. So one may feel anxiety over incompletions or unfinished business, guilt for not getting it done, completing it, or a constant put off, thinking that you'll get to it someday. So when will someday come? It irritates you some, or you wouldn't think about it, right? So ask yourself if it needs your attention at all. Or is it something you think you should do because you feel obligated, pressured, or guilty? These tolerations I call unforgiving tolerations. They eat at you continually and cause a quiet inner turmoil that then causes stress. This then causes a domino effect on you mentally and then physically. This can build up over time, and the little stresses eventually add up to one big chronic constant stress factor. And when we get to that chronic stress factor, we just kind of feel that that's how life is. And we kind of forget what it's like not to have the stress, what it feels like to be relaxed and calm. And we might have moments of it, but not constant calmness and tranquility, and versus that chronic constant stress is constantly right underneath the surface. So ask yourself next, if these tolerations are one you can learn to let go, and if not, what action can you take to do something with them so they no longer become the constant plaque that builds up? Tolerations can be coworkers at your place of employment, the job itself, your environment you surround yourself in, relationships, clutter home, closets, a cluttered schedule, procrastination, perfectionism, lethargism. So let's take the toleration of lethargic, because how many of us feel pretty drained, lack of energy, run down, going kind of into a mild depression maybe, especially at time of recording, this is in the winter. So how many of us just want to sit in front of the TV and veg out and do nothing and continue to wish you had more energy? Or you wish you could do this or do that, but you're always too tired. Tolerate being lethargic. There's a sense of comfort with just sitting in front of the TV and the TV entertaining you because you don't have time to do anything. You don't have to think. You don't have to clean, make phone calls, talk. All you have to do is sit and be entertained. But ask yourself, what is it that you're wishing you were doing, wishing you had the energy for? What parts of you are holding yourself back to living your life to the fullest? A draining toleration is life, is living a life of lethargism. So what are you going to do about it? What is one little tiny step you can do to move yourself out of feeling lethargic, feeling drained, feeling lack of energy? And just kind of going through the motions of the day, maybe you don't even have time to sit down and watch television. You are constantly on the move. But you're just constantly also being very tired, and you're just going through the motions. Going through the motions also is toleration. I understand that you probably are not motivated. No one is motivated when they don't have the energy, when you're too tired. But if that is the life that you want to live, then continue to live it. If you're happy, great. But if you are not, if you feel dissatisfied, if you feel that there is something more that you can do and know it within you and know it takes, and know that it takes tiny steps to do it, to let go of the toleration and find a way. Tiny little steps, just a little bit of activity, and just start at the baby steps and let go of the tolerations in your life. Some of us think, especially if we're procrastinators, that when to get to where we want to go, we have to get it just right or it won't work. And that kind of brings out our perfectionism. A lot of procrastinators have a sense of perfectionism where they have to do it just right. And if they can't do it just right, they'll put it off, and never get it done. And then, again, it plagues your mind. It just kind of drains you because it's constantly a little reminder in the back of your head. So how do you let it go? What are you letting go? So let's go back to lethargism is just an example, but there may be others that you're tolerating, and look for them and see what it is and write it out. If you're unaware, you cannot change. So you need to sit in a quiet space, again, going into that quiet area, into that silence. I can't emphasize that enough. Just to sit in silence and ask and to listen to the answers that come to your mind. And you will become very conscious, and you will be conscious of the change to make. It might not be the first time you do it. It might not be the week, or maybe even take a month of learning to sit quiet and listening and asking yourself that question. Another great research is showing that you ask that question before you go to bed. In the morning, you might wake up with that answer, or at 3 in the morning. So have a little pad next to you. I have a little pad of paper right next to me where if I wake up and something comes to mind, I write it down. But sometimes that also helps because we're relaxed and we're allowing the answers to come to us. Let's look at toleration of clutter because that's one that I think we can relate to as well. What does your schedule look like? Do you have time to even eat, breathe, or pee someday? This may be a sign you have a cluttered schedule. My hope is by doing the balanced wheel exercise, you can see where you have been spending your time and what areas may need your attention more. By looking at your core values, this then may help you make decisions on what to spend time on that would be serving you versus not serving you. Hopefully, you're starting to see the correlation of the sequence of events as we go through this. Now, how about a cluttered house, closet, garage, attic, etc.? Can we relate? Great, and I'm sure there's a lot of yeses out there. I was once on a teleclass where it was mentioned clutter is fattening. And through my experience with intuitive eating, mindful eating, I believe that statement to be absolutely true. I would like to share a story of Sally. She was a past client of mine that came to me to lose weight and wanting to stop dieting. She was a yo-yo dieter. And she thought she wanted, you know, she was looking at this intuitive eating and knew intellectually the diets weren't working, but she kept going towards them and didn't know how to stop. So she thought she'd try the intuitive eating. So Sally worked long hours in her home office. She traveled some on a weekly basis with an hour commute each way. Through coaching Sally, we found Sally used work to avoid looking at her cluttered office and home. With working long hours and feeling frustrated about not having enough time to clean her house, let alone exercise, leading to feeling very discouraged about her weight and yo-yo dieting patterns. This led to emotional eating and low energy to exercise. What we found was to avoid feeling anxiety and guilt over her cluttered home and office, Sally kept herself in front of her computer and office duties for long hours at a time, giving little time left over to start to clean or exercise. Oh, now I don't, you know, I work too much, I work long hours, don't have time now. Plus, she had a high-pressure job she realized she created by working long hours to complete the work and turn it around to the appropriate people in a very short time factor. Consequently, this caused her coworkers to expect the work completed with this time frame with every project each week. She trained these people. She trained her coworkers to know that Sally's very efficient, she's one of the fastest, she gets the work done, she's competent, responsible, and we can have a good turnaround. Therefore, her belief was to keep up her work in this timely manner, which she increased her pressure to complete her work, which increased her stress. She had created this huge cycle of long hours, high-pressure work environment, chronic stress that was causing a hormonal sequence of events that caused weight gain, all in the avoidance of the cluttered house and office. It was amazing when we came to that. Well, we had Sally take one corner at a time to do declutter, so it didn't feel so overwhelming. And we looked at her tolerations. And the clutter was a big toleration. And even when we have that thought of decluttering an entire room, entire house, entire garage, look at how many times you thought of maybe losing 50 pounds or 20 pounds or 100 pounds, and that just seems so overwhelming. It is very important to learn what it takes to take the baby steps, but always to be consistent with those baby steps to move forward. So by breaking it down into sections, into parts, into minutes, into time, whatever it needs you need to do to start to take the baby steps so it isn't overwhelming is what will work for you. So for Sally, it was like taking a corner of the office at a time. And to be realistic, what she thought would be 2 hours ended up being a half a day. And to realize what that time factor and time commitment is. But when you're done and it's clean, there's a sense of calmness and peace that just washes over you. And to look how that affected you in the past. And for Sally, how that whole sequence of avoiding the clutter really, you know, caused a lot of sequence of negative events to occur. What has become the internal nag in your head? What tolerations can you identify to free yourself up for peace of mind and body? Reducing tolerations will have a positive impact on your health. It is the simple, small, consistent steps that move you in a forward motion and I will not tell you that it's easy. Simple, but not easy. To me, easy is hiring a company to come and declutter my house. To get it all done in one fell swoop. Now, that would be nice, convenient, and effective. However, some people will choose not to because they are also the attachment of your clutter. You know, and wanting to know if this piece is best for you or not, if you want to keep it. And one thing is if you do find that you want to keep a lot of it and not let go, then some professional help probably is highly recommended to ask you questions to see really how important it is, see really what the attachment is involved, and to let it go. So that's for declutter of your environment, your external surfaces. Also, it doesn't have to be an entire house. It can be a small toleration as a burnt-out light bulb in the storage room that rarely gets used, but every time you go in, you're constantly reminded of that dead light bulb, and then you go grab the flashlight to look for that one thing, and then you never change it. In the whole, again, the cycle happens again. Next time you need to go in there, dead light bulb. So it's looking at that and seeing what your external tolerations are, as well as what your internal tolerations are. So, in your ebook, it says, your turn, where you get to go ahead and do some make some lists. So you're going to take a space here. You can print that page out and use the space that's provided, or you can just get a piece of paper and list at least 50 tolerations, either big or small. You know, look at all areas of your life. The balance wheel exercise from last chapter is a good place to look for in these categories. And pay particular attention to what you're tolerating with your body, your health, and energy. Also, and see what you want to change. And then ask yourself, may one or some of these tolerations stopping you from living your true core values? So that will bring some insight, but you need to pause and ask yourself the question. The next step is take a look at your list and circle five items that you would like to work on right away. Make sure that you choose at least one item that has to do with your health and your body. You may want to choose the big tolerations to really give yourself a jump start on reclaiming your energy, or you may choose some smaller items so that you can get a feel of some easy successes and build your momentum. You decide. Once you've chosen the tolerations to work on, decide on the best action. Is this toleration that you personally have to deal with, like going to the dentist? Is this toleration that you could delegate to someone else, like hiring a housekeeper, an assistant of some sort, hiring a company to come in and help declutter your home, whatever it may be? Write it out in the space below or on a piece of paper, however you're doing this, and how you will deal with the toleration, and give yourself a deadline for accountability. Important, give yourself a deadline. Be realistic. Don't be going into wishful thinking here. Because I do that. I go into wishful thinking. I've learned. help yourself. Be realistic with the accountability, with that deadline, and list your plan. Once you start handling some of the tolerations, even just one small one, you'll notice a change in your energy. For example, if you finally change that burnt-out light bulb, notice how differently you feel when you walk into that room. Do you feel a little lighter, easier, more positive? Notice the change in your energy. One thing that I also did as a personal note is I never used to make my bed. I was like, that was just a waste of time in the mornings to make my bed. I was just like, who in the world has time? I got three kids to get up. But I realized that was kind of a toleration for me to walk in and just see the messy bed. And that was one little thing that I did for myself, a self-nurturing item that I did for myself, was to make my bed for 1 month every day. And I cannot tell you, to even this day, after years of doing it now, walking into my bedroom and seeing a nice bed made, it's just a different feel. I just feel calmer. I feel, I just want to go, yes. And I just feel so relaxed, and I enjoy going into my bedroom. It's not like, oh, there's another mess I got to clean up. Or, you know, or look at that. You know, just that little nag meter that I just talked about that's in your head, when having my bed made, it's not there. So those are just a little bit of things that I do for self-care, is to make my own bed every morning. So that's just an example. But the biggest thing is to notice the energy, the way I felt, versus walking into the bedroom when the bed isn't made versus walking in when it is made. There's a completely different feeling. And for everyone that's listening into this call, is to recognize what the difference is for you so that you can appreciate. It's not just another task for yourself to do to make the bed every morning, but it's like, this is for me because this makes me feel really good versus maybe putting the chocolate chip cookie in your mouth. That's an example. Sometimes we do that. So anyways, I wanted to give a personal example of that. And ask if there's any questions at all with tolerations.
I have a question. Yep. You said the deadline and the accountability, is that for doing this exercise or for working on those tolerations?
This is for you to work on your own deadline. Because if, let's just say, like I have a client, I had a client, that there was, the whole upstairs needed to be decluttered. And so we, it took, you know, it was a 6-month deadline.
Okay.
To do that. So it's not about just getting it done in the next 10 weeks when the class is done or for your own purposes. And that's where I say be realistic. So, and some of these things might take an entire year, maybe, to start to take those baby steps. And once you start taking those baby steps, it almost will turn replace a bad habit into a good habit, something that honors you. By just taking care of things and building energy within yourself, like the example of lethargism. Once you feel energetic, you don't want to go back to feeling lethargic. So what were the baby steps that you took to get feeling energy and excited and the tiredness leaves?
Okay.
That will take a while. Does that answer your question, Yvonne?
Yep, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so what I would like for exercise this week, I would like everyone, if you have been doing 10 minutes of meditation, or I'd like you to bump that up to 12 to 15 minutes. Eventually, over time, hopefully you'll be getting 30 minutes for yourself, but we're starting at baby steps. For those of you that have not been doing the meditation, it's been a here or there, a hit and miss, you don't have quite 10 minutes. If you don't have quite 10 minutes and you're finding a struggle with that, break it down even more. Try for 5 minutes of sitting quietly on a daily basis. If that's, you know, break it down a little bit more if you're still getting the struggle there. But if you have been doing 10 minutes, crank it up to 12 to 15. All right. This week I'd like you to focus on, with your meditation, on physical relaxation during your meditation. This is a voluntary exercise of the will, and this exercise will be great value as it enables the blood to circulate freely to and from the brain and body. Tensions such as tolerations lead to mental unrest and abnormal mental activity of the mind. It produces worry, care, fear, and anxiety. Relaxation is therefore an absolute necessity in order to allow the mental faculties to exercise the greatest freedom. Make this exercise as thorough and complete as possible. Mentally determine that you will relax every muscle and nerve until you feel quiet and restful and at peace with yourself, or just if it's just moments of it. One thing that I say always in my yoga, in the beginning of my yoga class, is follow your thoughts through and pause. Let the thought come. Now let it go. Let it drift into the air. Let it move away. And allow yourself to just be. And then slowly do a body scan to relax. For exercise, I'd like you to try your favorite exercise that maybe you've always enjoyed, just never gotten back into it, or to start walking. If you've been exercising, walking, try an interval walking where you go at a faster pace for a set amount of time and then go back to a slower pace. Faster pace, slower pace. You can do a 2-1 ratio where it's 2 minutes of slow, 1 minute fast. You can do a 3-minute ratio, 3 minutes, or do the opposite, I should say, 2-1 ratio, where it's 2 minutes fast, 1 minute slow. You can change it up any which way you want. It doesn't need to be a 2-1 ratio. It can be, you know, it could be a 4-1 ratio, where it's 4 minutes one direction, 1 minute a different direction. I like the 4-1 ratios because every 5 minutes it changes up. So if I'm watching the clock or whatever, or if I have a heart rate monitor and watching the watch every 5 minutes, I know I'm changing the interval. So, again, a 2-1 ratio or a 4-1 ratio, either, you know, the 2 is a fast and the 1 is slow, or the 1 is fast and the 2 is slow. So you can change it up. Did I just confuse everybody?
Nope.
Nope, okay.
No, we're good.
Okay. So you can try the interval walking if you've been exercising. I love interval training. It really helps with the metabolism. It's a great workout, and I'll go into more detail the following weeks of the pros and cons of different type of exercises. But I want you to try it. If you're not exercising, get out there and do something that you enjoy. So it's not a chore. It's not a toleration. It's not a to-do, another to-do on your list. It's something for you personally. Okay, because I know you can do it. I believe in you. You are there. Everyone's doing so well with the emails I've been getting and making progress. So everything seems to be coming along with lots of you. And I truly believe this book did not come into your hands by accident. This class didn't come in. You reading these words is not a coincidence that you are ready to receive. You've been asking for this, and it has come. If you feel anything while you are reading, doing the homework, writing out, and it's really speaking to you, it's your spirit talking within you. When you read and feel something that really hits home with you, allow that spirit to just embrace it. Allow yourself to embrace it. Because then that is the course of action you are to take. All right. Any other questions before we finish up? Nope. So, all right then. I will talk to everybody next week. I will email everyone the open gym hours that I will have posted, and we will move on and continue forward. Yeah. Any questions or concerns, you can always email me as well. Take care and make it a fabulous day, everyone.
Thanks, Amy.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Amy?